From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
This is Alan Cairn saying hello to you. Thank you for joining us today for Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you listening in as we turn again to Colossians chapter 1 to consider the great theme of the preeminence of Christ in redemption. That's our subject for this week, and I trust that the Lord will richly bless this glorious vein of Scripture truth to your heart. Before we turn to Colossians, however, we have our daily devotional Bible reading for today on the subject of sins forgiven and forgotten. And the text is Isaiah 43, verse 25. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. The great Irish/English revival preacher Henry Grattan Guinness preached from this text one of the most memorable of all his tremendous messages. Indeed, since he preached it and published it, preachers around the world have repeated it as the best statement of the gospel from this verse in Isaiah 43:25 that they know. Guinness preached on sins forgiven and forgotten, in the course of which he made the following points about free grace. First, it blots out our transgressions from God's book. The Lord records all the words, thoughts, and actions of men. What a solemn thought! Who among us could ever face his past without shame and condemnation? What a day will the day of judgment be when the books are opened? Do you fear that day? Would you escape it? Then it must be by divine pardon. Only God can forgive sins, and thank God he does blot out all the sins of all who trust in the atoning blood of Christ. For believers, the record is clear. Second, free grace blots out our transgressions with God's hand. The very hand that recorded our sins is the hand that blots them out. The hand of him whom our sins offended erases all notice of them. The hand we so long rejected when it was stretched forth to us in mercy removes every trace of sin through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And third, free grace blots out our transgressions from God's memory. I will not remember thy sins. Sometimes we have great difficulty in forgetting our past. It rises up to haunt us, but the Lord has forgiven and forgotten all our sins. And Grattan Guinness had one other point, and it is that free grace blots out our transgressions for God's sake. He says, I will do it, blot out your transgressions for mine own sake. Nothing brings greater glory to God than the salvation of guilty sinners, their pardon, their justification, and their acceptance through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Let us rest in this glorious truth. There is no sweeter truth this side of heaven. And our thought for the day is the cross is the cost of my forgiveness.
Thank you.
broadcast here on Let the Bible Speak, we offer some free literature. One booklet we mention is A New Beginning, and I'd like to say a word to you about it. A New Beginning is an updated version. By updated, I refer mostly to the artistic presentation of the material, though the text has been slightly expanded. It's an updated version of a booklet I first produced in the 1970s. Since then, something around 500,000 copies have been distributed, and the Lord has richly blessed it. The booklet is a plain man's guide to what the Bible says on the matter of how to be saved. With an abundance of scripture quotation, it's an excellent yet simple presentation of the gospel to meet the needs of the lost. But it doesn't stop there. It goes on to explain the biblical basis of assurance and to give instructions in the first steps of the Christian life. If you're not saved and would like help in understanding God's way of salvation, if you battle with the matter of assurance, or if you're a young believer needing help in the first steps of your new life, then this booklet will help you. We'll be glad to send it to you free of charge if you write or call and request it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. And our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. We trust that you'll be in touch with us soon, and if you need to have one, we'll be delighted to send you A New Beginning.
Come to the Savior, make no delay. Here in His Word, He has shown us the way. Here in our midst, He's standing today, tenderly saying, come. Joyful, joyful will the meeting be, when from sin our hearts are pure and free, and we shall gather, Savior, with thee, in our eternal home.
So for the children, oh, His voice, let every heart faithful and rejoice.
And let us freely make Him our choice. Do not delay, but come.
Joyful, joyful will the meeting be, when from sin our hearts are pure and free,
and we shall gather, Savior, with thee, in our eternal
home. Now it's time to return to Colossians chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, to consider a little more the preeminence of Christ in redemption. And we will, after setting forth the outline of the passage, we will commence with the preeminence of Christ in the life of the church.
Now, let's look at this great theme of the preeminence of Christ in redemption. Now, I'm going to make basically three simple statements. First of all, in verse 18, we're going to show that Christ is preeminent in the life of the church. Then in verse 19, we're going to show that Christ is preeminent in the fullness or the plenitude of His perfections. And then in verse 20, we'll show that He's preeminent in the success of His work. Now that's the general outline of where we're going.
Now let's start at verse 18, preeminent in the life of the church. And here the apostle teaches us four great truths. First of all, he says he's the head of the body. That means he is the source of the church's life. He is the source of the church's life. The church of the redeemed has its life from him. There are so many directions that one can run with the idea of the church as the body of Christ. You can see immediately that those people who do not like the thought of the eternal purpose of God in choosing a people and giving them to Christ so that God can think of them as an entity, those people's ideas really don't measure up to Scripture. The worry that they have against this electing grace has no basis in Scripture. There is a body that is as specific, as real to God, as well defined, as clearly established before God as the physical body. There is a body that he calls the church. And Christ is the head of that body and that church. Now, he's not talking about the Presbyterian church or the Baptist church or any other church. He's talking about the body of the redeemed. He's talking about the totality of the people given to Christ in the covenant of redemption purchased by Christ with the shedding of his blood. He's speaking of that body, and he says that church of the redeemed is to Christ as the body is to the head. He is the head of the church. The church has its life from him. Now, when you think of the symbolism there, you realize that the head's a pretty important thing to the body. Let me show you how important. One of our ministers, the Reverend Stanley Barnes, is a brilliant preacher. Terrible singer, mind you, but a brilliant preacher. He's also an inveterate wit. And he's a story for everything. He came on the phone to me and he said, did you hear about the Irishman? It's always an Irishman. You see, the thing about the Irish is this. Over here, you tell a story about a Polack and the Polack gets offended. You tell a story about somebody else. White, black, Jew, Gentile, whatever, they all get offended. In Ireland, they tell the same stories, only they tell them about the Irish. So he said, did you hear about the Irishman? And he had an accident at work, and he lost the top of his finger. And we were able to take him, lo and behold, with this microsurgery, they could put him back on. Wonderful. But still, he got a couple of £100 compensation. He says, man, that's great. That's money for nothing. So a while later, he thought he'd go back to the same machine. He stuck his hand in and cut the hand off. And up they went, microsurgery again, and they put the hand back on. This time he got £1,000. He said, man, this is terrific. This is money for old rope. This is terrific. He says, I think I could really make a fortune here. So he stuck his head in. Stanley said he put the head in a plastic bag, jumped into the car and got run up to the hospital. The doctor said, I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do about it. Suffocate it in the bag. You wonder why they call the Irish dumb? But it does make the point, you know. How long do you think you're going to live without your head? The head to the body. The functions of the body come from its union with the head. The usefulness of the body comes from the head. All the powers that the body exercises come from the head. The unity of the body comes from the head. The whole purpose of the body is dictated by the head. Now all these things are so simply clear to us in the natural realm that we overlook them when we come to the spiritual realm. But let me tell you, He is the source of our life. The source of the life of the individual Christian. The source of the life of the church that He has redeemed. Everything good in a believer, everything good in the church of Christ is derived from Him. And He is the only reason for our being. I wish we would remember that. If I could bring it down to a very personal level, why are you here? Why is this church here? What's the whole purpose of life? You're not here for all the multitude of little things that people get so caught up with. The Lord has given us richly all things to enjoy. I am not arguing that we become ascetics, but I am arguing that we do not forget the fundamental reality. He is the head of the body, and the body exists for its head. And only because of its union with Christ has it any being whatsoever. Can I say just in passing that you have there a very, very powerful testimony that will teach you that the doctrine of those churches that teach baptismal regeneration or salvation by sacraments or salvation by getting in this church or that church or having a priest or a bishop or a minister or somebody else do something to you are altogether wrong. There is no life except in a living union with a living head. There's no place in the body of Christ unless you're united to Him. He's the head, the source of its life. But more than that, it says He's the beginning. I think you'll see that this means that He's the Lord of its life. The beginning has the idea He is its foundation. He is its originator. This is the same word, except it's singular, as the word principalities in verse 16. I suggested this morning that that may well carry the idea of governments. He is the government of this church, His body. He's not only its head, but He's its Lord. He originated its life, and therefore He is the Lord of its life. If all I have and am come from Him, then I am a thief unless I place them at His disposal. He is the Lord. Most preachers call for consecration on the crest of the wave of some great emotional story, and it never leads anywhere. What the Bible does is set before us the beauty and the glory and the majesty and the mercy of the Lord Jesus. And if only you can catch a glimpse of Him, consecration will never, never, never be a problem. He's the Lord of its life. Furthermore, He is the purchaser of its life and the provider for its life. Notice He is the firstborn from the dead. Literally, He's not just the firstborn of the dead. He is the firstborn out from the dead. Now remember that it says he's the firstborn of all creation. Well, now we read he's the firstborn from among the dead. What is this saying? Well, remember what it means, he's the firstborn of creation. It means that all creation depends on him. All creation, as it were, follows on from him. Now I apply that to redemption. In redemption, he goes before. We depend on him, and we follow on after him. You see, when it says he's the firstborn from among the dead, it's emphasizing his death, his finished work, his victorious sacrifice, his conquest of sin, Satan, death and hell, his resurrection life, and because of our union with him, it's guaranteeing that in all this, he's going before us, and we will follow on behind. And the fourth thing, of course, that he proves here is that because of this purchase, God purposes that he would hold the first place in all things. Now, this is a huge, huge subject that I am not going to get into tonight, for it is just too big. I leave it to the experts. Mr. Braham and Dr. Barrett can do this when I'm away. But in 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 24 and going through to verse 28, you have one of the most profound passages in the New Testament. And there you have God's ultimate purpose for Christ, his church, and his kingdom. And it ends up with him delivering up the kingdom to God. And it speaks of the Son himself. Now, speaking of the Son as the mediator, not as the eternal second person of the Trinity. As I said this morning, there's no subordination within the Trinity. But as the mediator, he delivers up the kingdom, and he himself becomes subject unto God, that the God may be all in all. That's a very profound passage of Scripture. But I want you to notice this, what it's saying, really, if I could put it in the simplest form. God purposed that because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did, there would be a people and a kingdom delivered up to God. God is all in all. He's worshipped, he's praised. Our redeemed people are serving him for all eternity. We have no conception in our puny little minds as to what that's going to involve. But that's going to be for all eternity. God will be all in all. But now we get back to what we were on this morning. Remember, the only manifestation of God to any creature is the Son of God. He is the, go back to what we read in verse 15, he's the image of the invisible God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.